Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
All right. So breaking news. What we did is we recorded the show earlier and then some news broke. So we came back in to...
And we thought it was appropriate being Thanksgiving weekend. And we are always talking about the Mueller investigation. And we've talked about General Flynn. And we talked about Turkey and his connection to Turkey. And here we are the day after Thanksgiving recording this breaking news. But what came out yesterday was that there was apparently there was a cooperation agreement between Trump's lawyers, between Kushner's lawyers, and between Flynn. And then what was came out yesterday, and this is something that's always done, whenever you've got multiple targets, the lawyers want to talk to each other, but the lawyers don't want to be in a situation where they say they're obstructing justice or anything else. Like if I've got two guys who are in the mix with my client, I want to be able to share information, what's called a joint defense agreement. So we enter into an agreement. You actually have an agreement that says we can share information. It doesn't eliminate attorney-client privilege or anything like that. This joint defense agreement, however, usually has a clause. And the clause is if one of you people, whether it's three or four or two, that all of a sudden starts negotiating with the government, then you have to pull out of this agreement. And negotiating can mean what's called a queen for a day, where you go in and you just tell the government what your client knows, and that can't be used against you unless you take the stand later on. Or you say, I want a plea bargain, and, you know, part of the plea bargain.
So we have this deal where I have a client, you have a client, Gary has a client, we're sharing all this information. But if you're going to go in and start working other deals, I need to know, because our deal's off, because I'm giving you information.
Exactly.
And I don't want you sharing the stuff that you know about me as part of your deal. And then this thing broke on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Which and says to me, nothing seems to be a coincidence anymore. Obviously, the news cycle isn't the news cycle on Thanksgiving.
Right.
People are traveling. People are watching a football game. And, you know, getting drunk and eating. I didn't know. I didn't hear anything about this because I'm off the cycle. It's all
right. Exactly. You're off the grid.
Right. So is that this broke on Thanksgiving for a reason?
I think so. I think part of it is to give the look, if Flynn is cooperating, and that's what the telltale sign is of pulling out of this agreement, this joint defense agreement, is that sends a signal this guy is cooperating. And people say, now, why would Flynn ever cooperate? The smart money is that Flynn is cooperating because his son is in the crosshairs. This was what the government did with Madoff. They told Madoff, you plead and we won't come after one of your sons. Didn't matter. His son committed suicide anyway. But they generally, I always jokingly say, that unlike the government, at least the mafia spares the women and children. The government thinks nothing of indicting your wife or indicting your son.
Madoff's still in jail, right?
Will be for the rest of his
right.
natural life.
And now he gets to sit there with the knowledge that his son killed himself,
yeah.
who he was trying to protect, which is part of the reason he's sitting in jail.
Well, I always talk about Jim McDougal. Jim McDougal was Susan McDougal's husband, the late business partner of Bill and Hillary Clinton. After he was convicted with Jim Guy Tucker, who was the then governor of Arkansas, he started cooperating.
That was the Whitewater?
The Whitewater. He started cooperating with Ken Starr, who was the independent counsel. And when Susan said, what the hell are you doing? Why are you cooperating? He says, I don't want to die in prison. Well, guess what? That's where Jim McDougal died. He died in prison. I mean, he cooperated with the independent counsel and got nowhere and died
This is why, look, I know it sounds pretty Jewish, and I'm not, but I'm often mistaken for one. I don't say, I say, please let me die in prison because I know they'll never hear my pleas. And that's how I avoid dying in prison. If I say I don't want to die in prison, you've just upped the chances of you dying in prison 700%. Should never make that proclamation. So they have this agreement.
There are so many. I mean, you could do a whole book on that, you know.
He pulls out. Flynn is now pulling out of this
of the joint defense agreement,
which says there's no other explanation for pulling out of this agreement other than I'm talking to the government.
Exactly. I mean, it's not because, hey, I don't want information anywhere. I mean, look, I'm a lawyer. I want as much. If I'm defending a client who's in the crosshairs of an investigation, and I've been there countless times and specifically with independent counsels, the last thing I want to do is cut off the information. In fact, I'm always tempted when a client starts or says he wants to cooperate, I'm always tempted, but I have to resist the temptation to not pull out because I want to have that extra added piece of information. But ethically, you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, there's also a timeline, too, I'm thinking, that many people may get a little hazy. I mean, they may go, I'll stay in for a couple more days, get a little last piece, a couple pieces of information, then I'll go, oh, by the way, I got to pull out because it's Tuesday. But on Friday last week, we made this agreement. But I don't know what that means. At that point, can you be sued by the other attorneys?
Like, well, arguably, you could be defrocked, disbarred, whatever you want to say. I mean, if the timeline's pretty obvious, whenever you start talking with the government, there are what are called proffers, and I've never understood the proffer of information. It's basically an offer. You go in and you tell the government, this is if my client was to cooperate. I've done it in terms of attorney proffers.
But you have to have a conversation about the conversation. So.
Right.
You can, the government can contact you. You can contact the government. You can discussing things.
Correct.
But without pulling out yet, because you haven't gotten to any information yet, but you are having a discussion.
That's exactly right. In fact, you have a discussion that leads up to, and they call this a queen for a day. That's an actual term that we use where they negotiate a letter agreement with the U.S. attorney. And sometimes the state authorities, although the state doesn't use it anywhere near as much. And the queen for a day means I'll bring my client in. We'll have a couple of agents there from whatever agency is investigating. My client will just vomit out everything that he knows and be truthful. And then the U.S. attorney, that starts the negotiation as to whether the U.S. attorney thinks you have or the prosecutor thinks you have information that is valuable that they would then want to make a witness out of you or give you some potential concessions.
Right. So if you don't have anything in your rucksack in terms of good tidbits, good stuff to trade.
Right.
It's like you're sitting down and trading with Indians.
Right.
And if you got nothing in your sack, then we're not interested in trading, and so no deal for you.
If you don't have $24 in beads, they don't care. And I can't tell you, I've taken in many clients on a queen for a day. I always feel dirty about it, I have to admit, because I always feel like there should be this wall between defense lawyers and the prosecutors, and it shouldn't be a cooperative endeavor. I mean, it's an adversarial system. We're not in the French system, but that's the way the federal system has evolved, and that's the only way you can do it. In fact, they joke about the first one in is always the guy who gets the best deal, and that it's a race back into the U.S. Attorney's Office. In fact, some defense lawyers, the biggest knock you can put on them is they're a prosecutor who never really left the office because every time they get a client, they're running into one of their ex-brethren and dumping the client on them.
So this coming out on Thanksgiving means what? Who orchestrated that?
This is very interesting, and I wish I had a little bit more inside information. Flynn has registered after the fact. And he's got a lawyer who's known for defending, this guy Kellner is known for defending foreign registrant type investigations for Turkey, for the government of Turkey. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw Erdogan was at the Turkey pardoning ceremony, you know, pun intended.
Oh, Turkey, right.
Government of Turkey. So the government of Turkey is there. Today, this morning, I believe, Trump tweeted that he was going to have a phone call with Erdogan as well. So it appears to me, and Trump was on a tweet fest, which usually indicates that things are heating up. And I mean, you know, whenever you invoke the NFL players and talk about this, that, or the other thing, I think reading the tea leaves is that they understand that there's something that Flynn has got some information that could be detrimental to somebody who's up the ladder. And mind you, I also saw a quote yesterday, which is absolutely true. Somebody who dealt with Robert Mueller when he was a U.S. attorney, and he was a kind of a take-no-prisoners, no-hold-barred U.S. attorney, he never is going to give anybody a concession unless they're rolling up the ladder. That is the federal way. If you want to get some kind of a concession and a plea bargain, you've got to go up. You don't go
down. You're saying Mueller is not going to give Flynn a deal unless Flynn has something that's going to get somebody above Flynn,
right?
Not an underling,
right,
or some low level, whatever. It's got to go up.
It's got to go up.
And it's got to be something.
It's got to be,
because he doesn't make deals unless there's something there. So
right.
Flynn has something. He's gone to Mueller. He said it's someone above him. I don't know technically how many people are above. I mean, we know Trump's above him.
Trump, but I don't think that's at the end of the day, you can't. I don't think that you can criminally indict a sitting president.
And you think Trump does that thing that I always think Donna Brazile does, which is when someone starts getting to the truth, she starts talking. Like she had, Tucker. No. Did you get the Tucker? He does that with tweets.
Yeah.
So somebody's getting at the truth. It's something over here. He sends out a bunch of stuff about the NFL players or ball and China and whatever.
Right.
And everyone always takes debate because we can't.
Have you ever seen anything like it? At least Donna. I don't think Donna's effective, because Donna ends up, you and I sit here and go, it doesn't look good.
Right.
But he does it, and he's got a constituency that just, they respond to the dog whistle.
Right. So he basically, as far as the dog whistle goes, it is like that. Like, he's got all these wolves around him barking, and he just takes a tennis ball that's filled with jerky treats and just throws it as far as he can the other direction, and they break off and go start chasing the ball
right
the other direction, and he gets left alone.
And there, and I, you know, I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I think that also Don Jr. has started this. Didn't he just tweet, Gary may remember this, didn't Don Jr. just tweet bring it on or something like that?
Is there?
Let me investigate. Sounds familiar.
Because he's definitely
one
of the people.
Are we at a place? Are we getting to a place where there is so much flying around so early and so often that you could never make anything fully stick anymore? So I guess what I'm saying is I feel like in the past. I don't know why I always come down to this example, but in the past, you're married and you get caught cheating and you're caught. And, you buy some jewelry, you apologize, you get divorced. There's many different avenues.
Kobe, you spend $4 million on a ring at Rafi's.
Right. There are many different, you go Kobe, right.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like we're almost at the point where no matter how many people come forward and say what you've done, you go, that bitch is lying. She's crazy. Everyone's crazy. First off, she's a Hillary supporter. So, of course, she's going to say, what would she say? You know? And she's just saying that because I voted for Trump, or Trump's just saying that because he voted. We're now factioned off, broken off. Everyone's head is full of, you know, the term fake news. And it's probably never been a better time to actually do something.
Well,
no matter what.
Right, in
no
a way.
No matter what we're at, all Trump's got to do is go, this is a witch hunt. These people are Hillary supporters. They couldn't take the fact that they lost the election fair and square. Yeah, there's a big pile of emails. That's fake news, too. That was made up. Somebody made that, dropped it here. Mission accomplished, Soviet Union. Here we are fighting again. I don't even know if we're living in a place anymore. I feel like it's just such a crazy free-for-all and almost like a riot-type mentality where it's like, who broke the window? I don't know. You can't say anymore because there's so many people in the street just running, throwing bricks.
And I think, we've talked about this before, that we no longer are talking logically. This is the ad hominem fallacy, the fallacy in logic. Of when you don't attack the argument, you don't engage with the argument, you just name call. That's what ad hominem is. So that's
right.
What we have taken ad hominem to a whole new level.
Right. So I don't know in this day and age. So as an example, let's just say In the past, you had CNN, you had all these other outlets, news outlets, you had Fox. And if something happened, then they would report whatever happened or whatever the findings were, whatever. And if you switch from one channel to the next, you'd find basically the same story being reported in right. basically the same way. Now, this is 10 years ago or 15 years ago or
probably
whatever. Whatever.
Like 15 years ago,
whatever it
I
is.
Would say, right.
Now, the story breaks. You turn over to MSNBC, and they say Trump should be impeached, and he should do jail time. And you turn over to Fox, and they go, this is nothing but more smoke and hokum. They can't take the loss. They should get back and start delivering. No wonder they're losing the message to the middle class. This is just another attempt to get our guy, because Hillary didn't campaign hard enough or good enough or effectively enough. We know it's no longer a place where we have where you can get 100% or the lion's share of the nation to even agree on something. It would just split it down the middle. Anyone who watches Fox is going to get this version. Anyone who watches CNN is going to get this version. And that means no version.
It's not only no version. There's a DMZ zone that never gets crossed. And there is a certain amount of irony for this. This whole attack, if you will, and the whole Me Too campaign and the whole exposure of sexual harassment and everything else, you now are seeing all kinds of reassessments of Bill Clinton. And it's bubbling up, and people don't even know what to do. That the exact same techniques that the Republicans are using, or some Republicans are using, I should say, are similar to the attacks that were happening that Democrats were, or defenses Democrats were doing back in the 90s. And so Bill Clinton and his legacy tends to get dragged down in the interim. And that's why I keep saying what we're going through here is just the flip side of what I saw with Whitewater back in the 90s. And arguably, you've taken the pulse of this. There isn't a conversation anymore. It's just a complete manipulation of whoever your base is. And there is no middle. The middle is evaporated.
So what then can we glean from the Thanksgiving piece of news that Flynn broke off, and we can expect it to go up?
Yeah, and I think that the obvious people are Kushner, Don Jr., and probably somebody. I just don't think the senior is in the mix, but Kushner and Don Jr. are the logical people for Flynn to do a roll on, for him to roll over on to cooperate against. I think explains why Don Jr. Was saying, bring it on, blah, blah, blah. Was getting rather defiant and taking a page from his father's book.
And what do we expect? Is there Russia stuff? Is there a collusion? I mean, everyone's waiting for all the Russia stuff. It seems there's so much to swim through that I don't feel like anyone. Well, there's, you know, someone starts bringing up Russia, and then they start bringing up Russia as it pertains to Hillary, and then as it pertains to Trump. And I think the overall takeaway is that everyone in power has done something wrong to a woman. And everyone in power takes money from some other government that's hostile. And everybody who's involved, I was listening to Lance Armstrong, and it's like cycling. And the time that he was competitively cycling was you had to take these performance enhancement drugs, or you weren't going to be competitive. And if somebody else was taking those, and now it was time for the 17-mile-long hill climb section of the Tour de France, that guy was going by you.
Right.
And so now you have no choice if you'd like to participate in this endeavor but to take these to dope your blood, or we won't know who you are.
Right.
Because you're coming in 64th out of 118 people. So
right. You're totally irrelevant.
Now, everybody who's ever had their hand raised up on that podium and put on don the yellow jersey as the winner of the Tour de France during this time period from, you know, 1989 to whatever testing we have now. You're all involved with it.
Right.
Because it couldn't be any other way.
It was the same during the Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds,
right.
That whole era. In fact, when I was representing then, Greg Anderson, who was enmeshed in the Balco scandal, I used to say, well, this is great now when you fast forward or kind of fast reverse and say, okay, we're going to now criminalize what was going on 10 years ago, everybody, in order to compete, which is the same thing that also what you just said fits in with what I was saying about reevaluating Bill Clinton based on, you know, back then if you hit on Paula Jones or you hit on this person or Jennifer Flowers, that was a different era, but now we're going to reevaluate the legacy and everything else. I mean, there is a certain amount of that I think distorts history, the truth, and everything else.
Well, look, there's criminal behavior, and criminal behavior can be judged for as long as history, for as long as humanity goes on. And then there is calling black people Negro. Well, we can't judge that because that's what they called black people in 1937. You know, you can't go back and desecrate grandpa's memory because if you call that, like there's been 1,000 in my lifetime. I didn't, you know, LGBTQT, everything gets added on. Nobody even knows.
Right.
Like I said, we're a kid, you could say fag. Now you can't anymore. Now, does that mean the shining beacon that is the Mark Garagos legacy should be tarnished because on the schoolyard he said fag once upon a time?
And you used to be able to say gay, then you couldn't say gay, now you can say gay.
So we have to decide whether somebody... So if you said Negro in 1939, then so did everyone else. And we cannot judge, just like it's unfair to judge.
Right.
If you said, hey, Negro, come over here, and then I hit you over the head with the bottle, that will stand the test of time.
Right.
And we can judge that person.
Exactly. Because that tends to be a certain floor from which we can operate. So what is your... So how do you analyze this then? Do you come to a judgment, or do you just throw your hands up?
I assume that the system, much like the Tour de France system, corrupts people because people are inherently corruptible, and it's almost like a big business. You know what I mean? Like we're angry at GM for going to Mexico, or we're angry at Apple for keeping all their profits offshore. And we're angry. We treat Apple and GM as if they're a neighbor or a relative or something. We turn it into a human and we go, why are you being bad? You're being bad. They're not being bad because, first off, there is no them.
Right.
There's just, we want to make money. And we're just this thing that wants to make money. So we sit around and we go, GM, don't be bad. Apple, don't be bad. Well, by the way, if Apple can be bad, then any corporation can be bad. They try to do a thing where, hey, we're Jeep, we're Apple, we're Nike, we're nice, have a Coke, have a smile, you know,
that's part of creating the brand. But ultimately, at the end of the day, whoever's in charge of
the Clintons. So yeah. I think politicians, they get sucked up like writers do in the Tour de France. Like, would you like to be successful? Yes, I would. Okay, well, then here's what you're going to need to do. Because that's what our system, would you like to be competitive? Would you like to be a front runner? Would you like to be in the pack? Would you like to be on the podium? Yes, then dope.
Right.
Because that's what we do. You need money. You need a ton of money to run this campaign. Where's that money coming from? How do you get that money? Well, this guy's a lobbyist. And he represents, and the reason that these places need lobbyists is because the country or the product is not good enough on its own to work. You know, I don't know that Sweden needs a bunch of lobbyists, because they're not really doing anything that requires a publicist and a lobbyist. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't know. And of course, you know, the drugs, you know, big pharma needs a lobbyist, and the gun manufacturer, because people are ODing and people are getting killed. People that make feather dusters, they don't need a lobbyist because they don't have a bad reputation. They don't need you, you know. So now we have a flawed system, which is you need money and here lobbyists, and you wouldn't be talking to them if they didn't have some agenda, and that agenda wasn't to protect something that you probably wasn't good for us. But here they come, and now we're going to get money from them. And so then who are we to judge? Because there are folks that just go, I don't know, Bernie Sanders. Hey, I'm not playing this game. I got my own agenda. And he just goes into the dustbin of history. Like, he's gone. He makes a little run. He makes a little noise. He gets jobbed by the system.
And he gets totally spit out the other side. Spit out the other side, and he's bitter.
Right. So that's it. So now, I don't blame Lance Armstrong. Like, I don't say he's a bad person. I say he's a person who chose to compete in the field where everyone knew how the game was played. And if you wanted to be competitive, that's what you had to do. And now we do this thing where it's like, you know, Trump's the devil and Hillary's a saint, or Hillary's the devil and Trump's a saint. They're all just big corporations doing what it takes to get
to
bigger.
The next earnings call, because God knows if Tim Cook was not exceeding analysts' expectations every quarter on that earnings call, there would be no Tim Cook.
Right.
Tim Cook would be gone, president of Apple,
CEO of
Apple.
So, right. So you don't get on a call and he said, look, I'm taking all the money that we have offshore and I'm bringing it to Nebraska. And I know it's going to be bad. We're going to to the tune of billions of dollars.
No,
but
right.
Tell the shareholders.
Hundreds of billions. But
tell the shareholders I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
Well, they're not interested in that.
Bye-bye, Tim. Go back to Alabama.
Okay, so is he a bad guy? Is Lance Armstrong a bad guy? Is Bill Clinton a bad guy? I don't know. They chose this profession, and once you decide whether you're riding a bike, you're running Apple, or you're trying to get to the presidency, once you make that deal, this is the path you may take. And also, I think it's this thing where it's like Neptune's trident, which is everyone says, oh, I'm on my own path, except for they all sort of start turning in and eventually just going up the handle.
Right.
Because they all lead in to that.
Because there's all humans seem to have the same behavioral psychology, which you've just described in detail.
Okay. So
that's where we are.
All right. We ready to bring it home?
I think so, and I think this is just going to have to be its own special Friday episode. This was too much to tack at the top. So you'll have an episode tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Wait, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's Saturday. This is going to be a special Friday drop.
Oh, okay. All right. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagus saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.